Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we're back.
We're back. The world traveler, me just hanging out here in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Well, here's the thing. I do feel like a lot has happened since we've chatted last. What's been going on with you? We did have such a significant time change difference, and it was hard. We tried to still communicate, but it was hard.
So while Shanna was in London, it was like a 5-hour time difference, which we're used to a 1-hour time difference, her being behind me, and then she went forward, and so it was a lot to adjust to. I had to always be looking at the clock and adding 5 hours and being like, okay, is it a reasonable time to be texting her? Because it's 8 p.m. here, but it's much later there.
Yeah.
So, and especially because I knew your guys' days were long with the kids and you were trying to like take advantage of everything. But life has been pretty okay for the most part. One of the big things we were just talking about beforehand, my husband for Christmas got me tickets to a couple of different things that I've really been wanting to see. So one of them was a Ben Rector concert. And so I got to see Ben Rector in concert, and not only just in concert, which he's done, he does like concerts and everything, but he did it with someone else named Cody Fry, which I had never heard of, but am familiar with a couple of his songs. Not realizing that's who it was, but they also did it with the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra. And I've never been to an orchestra, which is interesting as much as I love music and like enjoy all types of music. And so I think that was the part that like Ben Rector was fantastic. Cody Fry was fantastic, but to hear like a huge orchestra live, like hearing all of them playing and how it made like just a difference in the songs that I hear and listen to on a recording that maybe don't always have an orchestra behind them, and how it changed it. And it was so great. It was such a good night. And it was down at the Cincinnati Music Hall, which is, if you're familiar with Cincinnati Music Hall, is just a beautiful, beautiful building just in and of itself. Like you could just sit and look at that building and have a fun time, but it was great.
Yeah. Your husband's super intentional with his gifts.
He is.
And I love that. I love that. One of the things I like about him is that he's really intentional when he gives you gifts, and they're usually really good. This was a really good one. Good job,
Matt. It was a really good one. And then we're actually tomorrow headed to Indianapolis on Friday to see a Broadway musical, the one that's on tour called Hadestown, which has been one that I have been wanting to see forever. I'm a really weird person that I'll listen to like the original broadcast recordings of like the songs without ever having seen the actual show yet. So like I know all the songs and I've never seen the show.
It'll make it better because you'll know
I say never seen the show. I have seen it bootlegged on YouTube because I am also that person that will find them on YouTube and watch like surreptitious recordings that they're not supposed to be doing. But so that's how I saw Hamilton. That's how I saw Hadestown. There's been a couple other ones.
Speaking of Hamilton, I didn't tell you this. I almost got tickets. I was like this close. They just didn't have three together. Like I didn't know that they were playing in London, and they didn't have three together, and I couldn't. It was me and my kids, so I couldn't let them like sit by themselves. And anyway, so close. Like next time,
that would be fun.
Goal. I really want to go to it. Anyway,
Hamilton in London would be really funny. That's because
what John Eric said. He was like, "What a weird place!
It's about our independence.
What a weird place to watch it."
Well, part of it is. Anyways, so that's kind of what's going on with me. I'm looking forward to, I'm taking off the day when we go to Indianapolis. So I'm looking forward to just having a quick weekend away. It's been a heavy last couple months just with Matt's sickness and then some deaths in the family and, you know, just things like that. So I'm looking forward to us just being able to get away.
Yeah.
And we'll probably go to a zoo because I also love zoos. So we're going to go to the Indianapolis Zoo on Saturday.
But high five. High five them for me.
I will. What about you? Yeah. Tell us all about London.
Yeah, there's a lot to tell. 2 weeks is a really long time with kids. But to make this brief, I have memories that will always just be in my heart forever. That's just what I keep thinking of, especially. So my daughter had her birthday while we were there. And one of the things that she really wanted to do was they have the Warner Brothers studio where they made all the Harry Potter films. And so she has read all the books and I worked really hard. I think we may have even talked about this on the last episode. A lot has happened since then, but if she told me thank you one time, she told me 100 times, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so that was a really sweet day, just seeing her face. And
were you able to keep it a secret?
No. But it didn't, I don't think, there was so much we did the week before that, like, it was all new again when she woke up, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, my son, which is like along for the ride, like we probably walked 10 to 12 miles every day, according to my watch. And I tried to, one of my favorite things about London is just all the parks. They're just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, so we did a park almost every day. Only one day did it, we get caught in the rain. but other than that, I mean, we really had sunshine and it was just beautiful. And so, yeah, I took my kids to Westminster Abbey. Emma was just like, loved it and was soaking it in. And I did the Churchill War Rooms because she's learning about Churchill. And so I'm like, you cannot, one of the perks of being a homeschool family is that we can do these things. Mm-hmm. We can set aside school and then like literally live history. So we did that. And then we did Windsor Castle because mama had to have something that I wanted to do. And it was really great. So I think we are just actually getting over jet lag and back in a rhythm and a routine, which is great for my routine heart. So, yeah.
And we also joked around that you were going to find Kate Middleton while you were over there. And the day...
I'm not saying that it was a coincidence, Kristen. That the day we were at Windsor Castle,
she released a video from
Windsor Castle. But I'm just saying, I was there at the same time. So do with that what you will.
If you all know Shanna, she loves the royal family. And so it was a fun thing to be able to. Her and I talked about leading up to it. I was like, you just got to find her. Like, I don't know what's going on. You got to find Kate Middleton. And so it was just really funny when she released that video while you guys were there. I was like, you did it.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm just saying, coincidence. Yeah. We also had, it's really sweet to look at God's kindness in certain things, like not to overlook it. So my granny's 1 year, it's like anniversary, not deathiversary. What do you call that? Like 1 year since she passed. We'll say that.
Yeah.
And I got my love for the royal family from her. Mm-hmm. She would never, ever, ever jump on an airplane. She was terrified of them. so she would never go to England, but she loved it. She'd read all the books and like, especially like Princess Diana. And she, just love all the things Kensington Palace. And so I was able on that one day, the kids and I walked the Kensington Palace, and I've been there multiple times, but I've never been able to get like a bench that you can just sit and overlook the water with the swans. And it's just beautiful. People will run to get the benches, and I've never gotten one. And so we walked right up, and it was just like waiting for me. And so I went and I sat and I cried a little bit. And John Eric walked up behind me. He walked 2 miles and on a subway ride with these beautiful tulip flowers that he got for me. It was just a really sweet day. I just felt God's kindness there. And I'm like, I can't overlook that's where I was, you know?
Right.
And I don't know. It was sweet. I love that.
Yes. Oh, that's so
Well,
great.
yes, all of that. If anyone cares, I have like 500 pictures on
So many.
Facebook. So go see. Yeah. So today we invited our friend Brittany Allen back because we really enjoyed talking to her and her wisdom. And today we're talking about something that I think that is not talked about much, but a lot of people live with it, and that's chronic illness. So, I hope that you enjoy our chat with Brittany. We are joined today by our friend Brittany Allen. We had her last season talking about the theology of suffering and how to see God's goodness in suffering. And so we brought her back today to talk about chronic illness. We know I have a lot of friends who live with chronic illness. And I think sometimes ongoing seasons of chronic illness can really weigh people down and really make them question their faith. I think it's really hard. It's a challenge sometimes to persevere when you feel like so many of your prayers are going unanswered, right? I know I've talking to a friend and she was telling me that it's really easy to feel disappointed in your body because you feel like it has failed you. And so we really wanted to have someone come on who can really speak into this. And so I'm really thank you, Brittany. Thank you for coming on, agreeing to talk about this. So would
Yeah.
you like to maybe start with like just sharing kind of a little bit about your story?
Yeah, sure. So I am a host of many chronic illnesses, sadly. But so I'll just share. I was recently diagnosed with POTS. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but long story short, I basically deal with like low blood pressure issues when I go from sitting to standing, and I like blackout all the time. I lived
Yeah,
my life
it's
thinking this was
terrifying.
normal, you know?
Oh no.
I was just like, doesn't everyone black out and then like hold to the wall until they're like not blacking out anymore? Just me.
They're
No.
like, no.
Yeah.
No, that's not normal.
No. I lived my life thinking that that was something that everyone did. So, I actually wasn't diagnosed with that until I was pregnant with my second son. So just recently in the last couple of years. And then I also in the last couple of years was diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis. And so that's been one of my big chronic illnesses I battle every day. I just have joint pain all the time and like widespread from my jaw to my ankle. And then the main thing though that I have dealt with is which is also a recent diagnosis. All of these have been within like the last like 5 years, which is crazy. But I have intestinal malrotation. So this isn't super like many people, like I had never heard of it. So I'll just explain. Basically it is where my intestines are not in the right location. So there can be different variations, but for me, like my large intestine is on my left side and my small intestine is on my right side. My large intestine is kind of like stuck under my ribs a little bit. So it like feels sometimes like it hooks onto my ribs. And then, like, I know that's probably not what's actually happening, but it feels like that. And then I just have horrible chronic stomach issues that I've had since I was like, well, I say 14, but I actually think it was before that. Because I remember asking my parents, like constantly complaining to my parents when I was a kid, just like about my stomach. And they would just be like, here's some Pepto-Bismol. I never really looked into it. And as I became an adult, I started searching for a diagnosis because I was like, okay, this is not normal. Like, because I would just, the cramping that I can get can be likened to like labor contractions. Like, it can be really bad. And so, anyway, I just was diagnosed last year. Finally, had a doctor who was willing to do a CAT scan. And that's when it was discovered. And so this is something that
it happens in the womb. So I was in my mom's womb and my intestines just didn't fully rotate to the right location. And so I've lived with this my whole life. And it is very dangerous. So it can cause and often does cause like a life-threatening condition called volvulus, which is basically like a total twisting of the bowels. So that actually usually happens to infants. Most infant or most humans that are born with this, it's discovered within like the first like month of life because they almost die from it because of volvulus. So it's really rare to live your whole life with it and not have that happen. And it's kind of like living with a ticking time bomb because it very likely will happen at some point. So that's my chronic
Wow.
illness story.
It's
Super fun.
they can't see my face because I'm just thinking, like, one, praise the Lord for a doctor who'll listen to you, but to live your whole life without answers or to think that that pain is normal, and then to have two kids through all of that too. I'm just over here like, man.
I know. I'm thinking of how like organs shift in pregnancy and how like that could have been very, it probably was very dangerous, right? Like just.
It's wild. It's really wild. And what was crazy for me is that both times I was pregnant, I had other issues, but I chalked it up just to normal like pregnancy nausea, and I think most of it was. And then just like pregnancy constipation. But as far as like my cramping and like really bad stomach issues that I lived with, I actually got kind of a break from those. So I don't know like what was going on in there. I don't know if it was like stretching them out in a way that like let things go through easily, more easily. I don't know, but it was nice when I was
Praise. I was gonna say
pregnant.
another thing where you can say praise Jesus that you had a little bit of a reprieve for those. You know, 8 or 9 months. Well, thanks for sharing like kind of where you're coming from in all of this. I think it's helpful as to inform as we talk through some of these other questions and things. But I guess the first thing we wanted to start off with is, you know, there's obviously with chronic illness, there's good days and bad days, right? There's good days where you feel like you're not feeling the effects and or maybe the effects aren't as strong. And then there's some really, really tough days. So can you give us maybe some things that you've figured out or some tips for enduring those difficult days, whether they be physical tips, things that you've learned, or just some of those spiritual tips of how you endure those difficult days?
I think one big thing is prayer, obviously. And just those little popcorn prayers, right? Like throughout the day as you need help and rest and strength, especially if you're a mom dealing with chronic illness. And then this is preaching to myself, but allowing myself to rest or allowing yourself to rest as much as possible, which is hard, especially because there can be so much guilt and shame in that. I mean, sometimes I'm just forced to rest. Like I can't, I physically cannot do things because I'm in so much pain. But on those days where like just like for example, like my psoriatic arthritis is really bothering me and I have to kind of instead of just pushing through, like I know what's best for my body is to like ice and heat and like rotate those. And that means I have to kind of sit down some. And allowing myself to do that and letting go of the guilt and shame of what does go undone, because obviously a lot goes undone when you sit down more than you want to be sitting down. So, but that's hard. It's really hard.
And I imagine, like you said, as a mother with two young kids at home, you know, kind of finding that balance of being able to still be mom, but then also take some time to be able to rest so that you can continue to be mom in those times when it does, you know, kind of loosen up or give up a little bit in those symptoms.
Right. And it's like, I feel like it's a teamwork between your husband too, like, and you, because if you don't have a supportive husband and you're dealing with chronic illness, like, that is so much harder. Because thankfully for me, like, I can just be like, hey, like, you're done with work. I'm going to go ice my neck back in the room. Like, can you just keep them out here? But you know, obviously when I'm the main caretaker during the day, I don't have that option. And sometimes I literally just like lay on the floor and let my kids just like play around me. Because that's just like all the energy I have, you know. You make it work.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, as you were talking earlier, I have anxiety and I just like felt it like bubbling inside me as you were talking. And so I'm thinking, like, as a mom, I would love to know, just maybe you have, I'm not going to speak for you. You don't have to. I'm part of anxiety is just being fearful of the unknown, right? Like what could happen? You even shared like there's a high likelihood that something could happen in the future. And so like living in that tension, maybe I would love for you maybe to speak on like parenting through that fear or through that anxiety. I mean, because I can't imagine having to just show up, right? Like every day, have people depend on you and then live with these thoughts and these things in the background. Could you maybe speak into that?
Yeah. I definitely deal with fear, especially regarding the intestinal malrotation and the potential for that to go really bad. But even like things like POTS, more people who are listening will probably struggle with. One of the fears I have with that is just that I'll pass out around my kids and that they'll kind of just be like left to themselves until I come to. And you know, they're at an age right now where the 4-year-old is like more mature, but the 1-year-old will like grab knives. So it's like, right. You know, that kind of can be scary. But the main thing I do struggle with is the intestinal malrotation and just that fear of like that it will kill me or that I'll be in the hospital for, you know, weeks upon weeks and recovering from a major surgery to save my life. That there's a lot of fear specifically regarding that one because it's not always so obvious. Like sometimes people will have volvulus and not know. They think they just have like a stomach bug or something and then they pass away because they don't make it in time. So there's just a lot of horror stories out there. But then another fear I have is that like the potential for my children to have this, they do think there might be a genetic link. And so one of my children has actually been tested and he doesn't, but you know, the other one hasn't. And so there's just that constant, like anytime that he has belly issues, it's like, you know, just a little bit of anxiety of like, okay, like, is this, you know, I'm more afraid for him than I am for me, you know, just like not knowing. So those are some fears that I definitely battle, but even like psoriatic arthritis. So I don't know if you guys know this, but after I gave birth to my second born, I couldn't walk for 3.5 weeks. And that's likely because of a mixture of like nerve damage from the epidural and the psoriatic arthritis attacking my SI joint. And so I really truly could not parent my children. I couldn't even like hold my baby and like walk or like, you know, anything. And I mean, I was rendered helpless. And so there's that fear sometimes, like when my pain gets really bad, like, am I going to not be able to walk for a few weeks or, you know? So definitely lots of fears can come from chronic illness. And I think I constantly have to like take those captive, submit them to the Lord, and even just pray in that moment, like, please, Lord, protect my children from that, or, you know, please protect me from that, or, you know, all these different things. And also reminders that, like, even if the worst happens, he's going to provide for my children. Like, I know he will, and I can trust him in that.
I think that leads very well into kind of what we were wanting to talk about is, I feel like we always are pointing back or trying to point back to God's goodness in our lives. And it would, I imagine, to be so easy to look at each one of these chronic illnesses and be like, God, how are you good if I'm going through this? Or if, you know, this is happening, how can I see your goodness? So I guess I'd love to hear you talk. And I know you've done a lot of writing on it as well, of how God has taught you to see his goodness, and how you've been intentional in looking for his goodness in each one of these situations, or in, you know, through your chronic illnesses.
Yeah, I think one thing I want to state outright, and I think you guys would agree, is that suffering like chronic illness is not good, but God is good in the midst of chronic illness. And I think that that distinction is so important. One day I would love to write a book on just having a good theology of suffering and like kind of some of the lies in our culture, or not just in our culture, but in the church that women believe about suffering. But that's a whole nother subject. But I just want to state that because it's so important to get that. It's so key. But he is good, and his goodness doesn't change regardless of our circumstances. And so I think that, you know, we see that he's faithful to provide our true needs. And like a lot of us, as we suffer through chronic illness, we see how he's providing for our family, in the midst of our struggle. And the other thing that's good about that, at least for me, is that I get to see that God provides without me for my children. As hard as that is and humbling as that is, like, there have been times where I have been stuck in the bathroom because I'm dealing with major stomach issues and my newborn is screaming for milk. And, my husband is able to get him to take a bottle, even though he normally doesn't, you know? And like, so it's like, you get to see God do things like that. Which is hard because you're like, but it's supposed to be me, you know, like I'm supposed to do this. And that causes us to rely on him. So that's one thing. And then, he also often reveals himself in suffering. We get to know him more through his word and just through the way that he comforts us. Like, he's the God of all comfort. And he, when we run to him, he comforts us in our suffering as we rely on him. So I think those are just some of the ways. I'm sure there's way, way more than that. But.
I think, you know, one thing that if people listen to our podcast, they will know, they probably will quote this along with me, but we say on here often that we have to know who God is in the light, shout who he is in the light, so we can whisper it to ourselves in the dark. Because there are times when you are in pain and like he doesn't feel good in those times, right? Like, it's, if we're being very honest, we know his character. But it doesn't feel true in those moments. And so that's one of the things on Grow in Grace that we really try really hard to make sure that people, you even said it yourself, people know that he's good in the midst of things that are not good. Yeah. And I really appreciate you kind of reiterating that, because there are going to be times when none of it feels good. It's the effects of a fallen world on our bodies, right?
Right.
And so it's just remembering that he is unchanging, and he's good, and his character doesn't change. And so I think that's a really good word, Brittany. Thank you for sharing that. I think I would love for you to maybe speak into any of our listeners who struggle with chronic illness. Maybe they have days where they can't get out of bed. And I think I'm listening to you talk, and you said something earlier about like dealing with guilt sometimes. Listening to your body, I think, is good and right. And there are days when you can't get out of bed, and I think that it's just stewarding what you have well, right? But there's guilt that goes along with that, which is from the enemy, that you should be doing more, or you're not good enough. You're not a good enough mom because you can't be doing this with your boys, right? I would love for you to maybe, is there like some encouragement that you can maybe offer to those who are suffering with chronic illness?
Yeah, I the whole guilt thing and the shame that can go along with it is so hard, especially in our culture where we get to like go on Instagram and see like all these women who are like seem to just be like doing all the things they do day in a life, and they're showing themselves getting up at 5 a.m. and they're working out and they're like doing all these great things. And you're like laying in bed watching this, and you're like, I can't even get out of bed, let alone work out. And it can feel very like lonely. And like I oftentimes will think, so one of the big things that POTS causes is brain fog. Like it's a miracle that I'm talking to you guys and not like getting totally confused right now. Like my brain is often like mashed potatoes, like just thick mashed potatoes that I'm like
Has to be
swimming
so
through.
frustrating for a writer, too.
Oh yes,
That would be
it
really
is.
frustrating.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I was working on something before, like a writing piece for a project before I got on here, and I was just like staring at it for like 30 minutes. It's just like,
It's like
Lord, you
an
gotta help me get through this podcast interview because I am not doing well
was
today.
gonna say an even more intense version of writer block. Like they talk about writer's block where you just can't get anything on the page, but if your brain can't even process like to get anything to that point, oof.
Yes, it is rough. So thankfully he's been faithful so far in this interview. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, I just feel like that often is a big struggle for me. And so I hear from like my friends, my writer friends who don't have that struggle, and they're like getting like whole chapters done in a day and like all these things. And for me, like I've been working on a project where I had to write two sample chapters, and now I have an introduction, and it has taken me 3 months. I'm still not even done with the introduction. So it can be very like easy to compare, and maybe even we can be given over to envy at times and have to fight against that. But I think we have to remember, I think you mentioned earlier about our bodies, like we can just be so disappointed in our bodies, and I think that goes along with this. We have to remember that God has given us these bodies, and they're affected by the fall, and yet he's still sovereign over that. And even though it's not good, he is going to use it for our good. And also, he's going to use it for the good of those around us, whether it's our, children or our husband or our friends or people we don't even know. And so that is one encouragement I think we can remember. And then also just being grateful for the times where we can get out of bed and we can take our kids to the zoo or whatever it is. And I think that it gives you just such a a heart of gratitude when you do get to have more of a normal day. And I think that that's a good thing. But yeah, just some other things that I wanted to speak to is just like, for a long time, so obviously, like, I just got diagnosed with my stomach, like my illness in my stomach. And then I said that I have been searching for a diagnosis since I was 14. So that, I mean, I went 20 years with no answers, seeing doctors. And that is very common for people who are dealing with chronic illness. Sometimes they never get a diagnosis. And that can be really hard and frustrating because you don't know how to help yourself. Like, you don't know what to do to feel better. And people will throw at you all of these different, you know, things. Cut sugar out, and it's the gluten, and it's the fact that you're not touching grass enough with your feet, like all of these things, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, none of them worked for me. I mean, I didn't ever really like try the grass option, so maybe that really? Was the key. I don't know.
Just run around barefoot, Brittany, and everything will be fine. Come on.
You know what? I did that once last summer, and I got stung by a bee. No, it was a hornet in my foot, five. He just kept stinging me over and over again. Anyway.
Yeah, never again.
No, thank you. But yeah, like, I tried all the things and the diets and so many things, the supplements. And at the end of the day, they did nothing for me. And it's because I had, like, an actual anatomical problem. And so sometimes there are things that, you know, are just a lot harder than that to fix. And I don't know why I went down that rabbit trail, but mashed potatoes. what I was trying to get to, and I don't know how to get back, but I'm just going to say it, was that throughout waiting for a diagnosis, I just stopped praying because, like, about that specifically, because it felt like God was never going to answer that prayer. And I also noticed during that time that I started to just kind of suffer in, like, a sense of self-sufficiency. So I would be in extreme pain on the bathroom floor and, like, hurtled, you know, and I, like, wouldn't even pray for help. You know, I just was kind of like pulling up my bootstraps and suffering on my own and not going to him. So I think when suffering lingers long, that can be our tendency, is like, well, God's not helping me. He's not answering my prayers. So I guess I just got to go at it on my own. And I think that it's just a reminder for us that instead we can just continually go to him. He never gets sick of us going to him with these requests. And one day his answer might be yes. You know, 20 years later, he gave me a diagnosis I wasn't even praying for anymore. And so I don't know if that will encourage anyone, but just keep going to him and running to him, and don't be afraid to keep praying for healing. And also that he's our good shepherd. And even if we aren't going to him, he's carrying us through. He's still there.
Such a good reminder that he doesn't get tired of us asking, right?
Yeah.
That's what I always tell my kids. I'm like, pester him and keep pestering him. Like, he doesn't care. He
I was going to say, because even if we were to put it in the, you know, our earthly sense of your kids coming to you, there is a limit that you are like, okay, stop asking for that. Like, that is us and our sinful flesh, right? Or, you know, that's our reaction. And that's not the way God doesn't respond and say, okay, stop asking for it. He's just saying,
yeah,
not right now, or no. And, you know, because he has a bigger plan.
Yeah. There's something better here for you, which is really hard to see sometimes.
Yeah. I love that.
So, how can the church or the community, care well for those who suffer with chronic illness? Because often chronic illness is not a broken arm, right? Like, it's not readily seen. Like, when someone walks into the church, a lot of times you can't clock it. Like you can't be like, oh, that person is in pain or that person is hurting, or they're struggling with something long term. So how can the church kind of care well for those who are suffering with chronic illness?
Yeah, I think we can, if we are like close to somebody or we know of someone in our small group or, you know, Bible study or whatever who battled chronic illness, we can just check on them. Even if we're not super close to them, you know, just check on them occasionally and see if there's anything they need or if they, you know, need prayer about something specific, even if it's like a medication that their insurance is not wanting to cover or something, which is something I just dealt with. And, you know, my small group prayed for me in that every week until it finally got approved. And so, things like that. And then also just praying for them in your own prayer time. And even providing needs during flare-ups. Like if, you know, for example, when I couldn't walk, there were lots of meals brought to us. I mean, we also had a new baby, so there was already a meal train, but the meals kept coming longer because I couldn't cook, you know? And so just providing those needs. People came over and folded laundry for me and cleaned our bathrooms and things like that. Yeah. So if you know, like I have a friend who asked if I needed her to come over one day. Sometimes my arms will just be really weak and I can't do much with them. And they'll just hurt. And she was like, hey, I'll come over and like play with your kids so you can just like sit on the couch and not have to worry about like picking up the baby or, you know. So things like that can be really helpful too.
Yeah, I think there's something beautiful about the body of Christ, like being the hands and feet in like tangible ways. I know I have a friend who recently also got a diagnosis for some things. And I think one thing I learned during that process is really just to be quick to listen and slow to speak, you know? Yeah. I think remembering what not to say is often more important than remembering what to say. Like sometimes you just need to sit and listen and not try to spin everything about us or like try to relate, because I can't relate to this, you know?
Yeah.
And then also I think you mentioned just like praying, coming alongside and praying. And I think, you know, oftentimes like lamenting together, like go, like maybe just praying a song of lament together is, I think, really beautiful and points them, you know, back to God and like entrusting God with this situation. And so I think, you know, to kind of conclude this, I know this seems like a really heavy episode, but it is something that I think so many people deal with and we just don't talk about. And so, you know, obviously chronic illness is not something people would ever choose, right? And I think, you know, we experience the brokenness of this world in a myriad of different ways, and that includes chronic illness. And I think we know God is at work in the midst of it, but it doesn't take away how hard life can be for those who are dealing with this. And I think, you know, you mentioned earlier that chronic illness can give you a sense of gratitude. It can foster the sense of gratitude, but I also think it creates a longing for your new body, right?
Oh yeah.
Like the aches and the pains in your body and of this world are just a reminder that God created us for something more beautiful and more eternal. I think our body, all of our bodies, all of it, but especially those who are suffering with chronic pain, really long to be home in a resurrected body.
Yeah.
And so I think our hope and prayer is that if you're listening and you have chronic illness, that you find comfort in the words of scripture and your hope in Christ. And I just want to read, like, for our listeners, I just want to read like this verse. We're going to end with this verse. in 2 Corinthians 4:16, and it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And so with that, we end with just saying, man, come. Come, Lord Jesus, and make it all new.
Amen.
Thank you, Brittany.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.